نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Once ملك الموت went to a pious Muslim. This pious Muslim was traveling towards a certain place. The angel of death greeted him. The pious man replied by saying, Wa alaykum as-salam. The angel of death told him, I want to tell you something in your ear. He replied, Say it. The angel of death said, I am Malakul Maut. He replied, Very well, welcome. Blessed is the arrival of him whose separation was very lengthy. Of all the people who are distant from me, I did not desire to meet them as I desired to meet you. The angel of death then tells him, Complete that work quickly for which you have left your home. The pious person replies, I do not like any work more than my meeting with Allah Ta'ala. The angel of death then informed him, I will extract your soul in whatever condition you wish to die. The person replies, I give you the choice. But the angel of death says, I have been ordered to follow your desire. The person says, Very well, let me make wudu and perform salah. When I go into sajda, then you can extract my soul. The person began offering salah, and when he went into sajda, his soul was extracted. As the Shaykh Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah, the author of this book, compiler, after relating this incident, he mentions that among the excessive bounties of Allah Ta'ala is the demise of the eldest daughter of the servant, that is the Shaykh's daughter, who was the wife of Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah, Hazrat Ji, who was ill for a long period of time. So she passed away on the night of the 29th Shawwal, 1366 Hijri. She passed away while she was performing the Maghrib Salah in the position of Sajda. As the Shaykh says, we cannot thank Allah Ta'ala enough for the bounties that He has bestowed upon us. So here from this incident, first and second incident, we read, notice that some pious people were indeed very fortunate. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with such beautiful deaths. But of course, this comes with an effort when a person draws himself close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and yearns to meet his Creator. Allah Ta'ala then extracts his soul also in a beautiful manner. Like in both these incidents, their souls were taken out in the state of sajda. But of course, to reach this height of spirituality, a lot of effort is required. There is a saying in Arabic also, بِقَدْرِ الْكَدِّ تُكْتَسَبُ الْمَآلِ مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعُلَىٰ سَهِرَ الْلَيَالِ. That in accordance with the effort that a person puts into his dini life, effort on his iman, in proportion to that, Allah Ta'ala raises him in status. And then further, it is part of a poem. The poet says, the person who wishes to reach high heights, elevated heights, he should remain even awake at nights. Strive in order to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn the marifat, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these nights are the nights to stay awake. Like for example, tonight, also an odd night, 27th night. As much as possible, let us exert ourselves. The month of Ramadan is trickling by. Whatever little time we have left, let us devote ourselves to derive maximum benefit. Also, there is another Arabic saying that al-ataya biqadril balaya, that a person is rewarded, he gets bounties in proportion to the amount that he exerts himself. The more that he exerts himself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah ta'ala grants him his recognition, grants him proximity, and the more he becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran too also says very clearly, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive in our path, we will open many, many avenues towards success and salvation for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely likes those people who do good and bank good deeds for the akhirat. So the more a person strives, makes an effort on his spiritual life, on his iman, he brings deen alive in his day-to-day activities, the more Allah ta'ala opens ways of success and salvation, not only success and salvation of the akhirat, even in the world. When a person is enveloped with calamities, with problems, Allah ta'ala removes all these problems because he has become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many incidents we read in Islamic history that prove this, even in the seerah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the more a person strives, he gains recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created in his heart. And when a person fears none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every other creation has fear for him. He fears no one. لا يخشون أحدا إلا الله. This is a state that he reaches, that he only fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever creature, whatever criminal, whatever enemy comes in his path, he has no fear. He places his trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An incident in the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once returning from a certain battle jihad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the army that you will rest for a little while at a certain spot on the way back to Madinah Munawwara. They reached that spot where there were some sparse trees here and there. So the Sahaba chose the tree with the best shade for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They also went to rest beneath the shade of some trees, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one tree was reserved for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lay down there and he hung his sword on the branch of the tree and he fell asleep. Some enemy that was following the army, solitary figure, single person, he reached this place and he recognized Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He thought to himself that this is my lucky day, the leader of the Muslimin, perfect opportunity to execute him, assassinate him. Even the weapon was there, he noticed the sword of Nabi Karim some hanging from the branch of the tree. So he took down the sword, removed the sword from its sheath, and brandishing the sword, he woke Nabi Karim Sa'asim. In fact, Nabi Sa'am's eyes opened when he heard the rustling sound. And Nabi Sa'am saw this enemy standing with the sword brandished, and he's asking Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Mayyam Na'uka Minni, who will save you now from me? So Nabi Sa'asim had no fear for the creation. His attachment, his connection, his khashiyat and khawf and fear was only of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had full reliance in the nusrat, help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very calmly and with full conviction, Nabi Sa'asim replied, Allah, that Allah will save me. Nabi Sa'asim said this, Allah, with such force and conviction that it made that enemy's hand start trembling. He could no longer hold on to the sword dropped from his hand. Nabi Sa'am picked the sword up and then asked him, فَمَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي? Now who will save you from me? So he had to acknowledge that only if you spare my life, I can be safe. I plead for your clemency, for your kindness, that you spare me. Nabi Sa'am then set him free, let him go, and did not take any revenge from him. So yet Allah Ta'ala's nusrat was there. Enemy has a sword in his hand, perfect opportunity, yet he could not execute his task. If we study the other stories walking down the corridors of history of the famous Islamic personalities who strived in the path of Allah, and how Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, how Allah Ta'ala's help used to come. A Sahabi, Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala, moving along with the Muslim army in Roman territory, in enemy territory, he had to stop behind for some necessity. The army continued on its way, and after fulfilling the necessity, because he was in unfamiliar land, he lost his way. He did not know which direction the Muslim army took. So now he realized the predicament he was in, that if there is a Roman army patrol nearby, then it will be curtains for him. So he was thinking, how could I get out from here and reach my Muslim colleagues? Suddenly, this was a jungle area. He was in the middle of a jungle. A lion appeared. before him. So he was totally unafraid. In fact, he addressed the lion that I am the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've lost my way. You assist me to reach my army, reach my colleagues. So it is written that the lion began to wag its tail like a dog that wags its tail in happiness when it sees his master. In this way the lion wagged its tail and beckoned to him to follow him. So he began following the lion. And the lion then navigated its way through the jungle. Whenever some dangerous creature was standing in front, the lion would push that creature away and clear the way for Hazrat Safina radiallahu anhu to walk behind him. So without any navigational instrument, like today we would say, without a garment, without a tom-tom, without Google Maps, Allah Ta'ala guided that lion, and the lion took Hazrat Safina radiallahu anhu through the jungle, and they reached the end of the jungle, and he took Hazrat Safina right to the spot where the Muslim army was camped, and he was rejoined with his army. So look at this. Those who strive in the path of Allah, Allah Ta'ala opens avenues for them. Yeah, an escape route opened up for him. When the Muslim army came to the northern tip of Africa and conquered parts, regions in the northern tip of Africa, the leader, the commander of the commander of this army was Uqba bin Nafi, rahmatullahi, a tabi'i, not even a sahabi, but he had a few sahaba also in his army. So after having conquered the northern tip of Africa, now they needed to spend some time, look for a base where they could spend a few days, few weeks. So they found an appropriate place, but it was a jungle area, but it was suitable to set up base camp. So the Amir decided that we will set up base here. But the nearby inhabitants warned them that this jungle is infested with snakes, scorpions, and there are other dangerous animals, predators like lions, wolves, etc. It will be impossible for you to set up camp here. But unfazed, he said to his army, this is where we will set base. And thereafter, from the army, he picked up the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that were present. There were 18 Sahaba in that army. He called them forward, and he stood at the edge of the jungle. And then he addressed the animals of the jungle. That, Ya ayyatuhal hasharat wa siba' نَحْنُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَرْحَلُوا فَإِنَّا نَازِلُونَ فَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا مِنْكُمْ أَحَدًا بَعْدُ قَتَلْنَاهُ. He addressed the creatures of the jungle, that all snakes and scorpions, all animals of the jungle, we are none other than the Sahaba of Rasul Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. We wish to set up base here. So we plead with you that we want to set up base, therefore you make yourselves scarce from here. After this announcement, if we find any creature in the jungle, we will kill that creature. It is written in the books of history that no sooner was an announcement made that all the dangerous animals of the jungle, snakes, scorpions, lions, wolves, emerged en masse from there together with their young ones, and they came out of the jungle and relocated to another jungle place and left this place clear for the Muslim army to camp there. If this wasn't the nusrat and help of Allah, then what else is there? In the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, this incident occurred where the northern tip of Africa was conquered and this amazing miracle took place. When Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala came to conquer Persia, first the battle of Qadsiyah took place, where the Muslims emerged victorious, and they decided to camp and to station themselves in Qadsiyah for a period of a full month to ensure that there is no treachery from the enemy. So because they had to stay there for a long period of time, the army's rations, their provisions were exhausted. Now they had no food to eat. So Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas appointed a sahabi, Hazrat Asim bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, that you go out to the neighboring village and see if you can get hold of some livestock, some cattle, some goats that we can slaughter and survive on. Because it was a war situation, those cattle, animals would be booty, spoils of war. They could take what they wanted. So that Asim bin Amr radiallahu anhu proceeded. He came to a clearing where he saw a shepherd standing. They are kafir shepherd. Behind him there seemed to be some enclosure. He went up to the shepherd and asked him, "Tell me, have you got some cattle or goats? We need some food to survive." So he spoke a lie. He said, "There are no cattle, no goats here." Suddenly, Hazrat Asim bin Amr radiallahu anhu heard from the enclosure behind this person a very strong, healthy bull. Allah Ta'ala gave you the power of speech. And the bull spoke that Kalaba aduwullah ha nahnu. That the enemy of Allah has spoken a lie, we are present. We are cattle for you to take, we are at your service. When the shepherd heard this, he took to his heels, realizing that he'll be killed. And very comfortably, Hazrat Asim bin Amr radiallahu anhu picked a very healthy bull from there. And he took it back, they slaughtered the bull, and they had this in order to survive as meat for the army. So here to the Nusrat, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. When Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, with his army conquering Persia, the last hurdle was the place known as Madain, which was on the other bank of the Tigris River. And they had to cross the river in order to defeat the enemy forces, Kisra, the Khosrows, and his army, special guard, was with him. And they thought the Muslims cannot reach us because at that time the Tigris River was in full song, wave upon wave. There was a storm in that wide river, and the chasm from one side to the other was very wide. There were no boats to use to cross the river, and it was impossible for even the best of swimmers to swim across that river. So they were wondering what to do. Then as Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made dua, and then it announced to the Muslim army, that all of you read these words, and then we will fling our horses into the water and cross the river. So they read the words, نَسْتَعِينُ بِاللَّهِ وَنَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْهِ حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. Saying this, the leader, the Amir al-Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, the first person to fling his horse in that raging torrent of water, and Allah Ta'ala caused the horse to be unharmed. Very easily it began to cross the river. The rest of the army followed suit, and with their horses they jumped into the river, and it was a wide space to cross. Some of the horses were becoming tired. Miraculously, in the middle of the water, Allah would cause a hill to appear, and that horse would perch itself on the hill to dry itself, to rest for a little while. Then it would continue wading through the water until it reached the other side. One Muslim's horse seemed to be afraid, so he addressed the horse that you are afraid for a few drops of water. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. He read this verse in the ear of the horse, that a person or any soul, any creature can only die on his appointed time. Why are you afraid? Then he also jumped into the water, and they crossed the Tigris River without being harmed. In fact, on the other side, the Persian army was shouting that these people are insane. Then one began to scream that we are not fighting with humans, these are jinnats. And they became afraid. When the Muslim army reached the other side, to the city of Madain, the Persian army had taken to its heels. Allah Ta'ala granted victory to the Muslim army. This was a nusrat of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ صُبُلَنَا. When you strive in our path, we open escape routes for you. We open avenues for you. So here Allah Ta'ala's help came. In the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when Hazrat Ala Hadrami radiallahu ta'ala was in pursuit of the enemy in Bahrain, and there too they had to cross a certain portion of the sea. But before they came to the sea coast, on the way they were thirsty, there was no water to be found. So he said to his people, to the army, Make dua to Allah using these words. Ya Alimu, Ya Halimu, Ya Aliyu, Ya Azimu, Isqina. When they made this dua, immediately a cloud appeared above them. And the rain water upon them. Enough water for them to fill their bottles of water. Enough water to let the animals drink. Then they proceeded. When they came to the sea, there was a storm at sea. They had to cross. Again he said to the army, repeat the same words. And they actually walked across the surface of the water. And they caught up with the enemy. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was also in that army. He relates by taking the oath of Allah that we were 4,000 in that army. When we crossed that sea water, not a single drop of water got onto our clothing or onto our bodies. This is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can only come about if a person pleases his Creator, abstains from all types of sin, and makes a pledge with great remorse not to return to the sinful life, then Allah Ta'ala's help definitely will come. Hazrat Mawlana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, we were fortunate when we studied in Hardoi to sit in his company. He was blessed with a unique speciality. One speciality was his love for the Qur'an. He was known as Ashiqi Qur'an. But he also had love for the Sunnah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama contemporaries of the time gave him the title Muhiyu Sunnah, the reviver of the Sunnah. And this was his concern, always to revive the Sunnah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to always, in his bayans to there in the madrasa too, he used to emphasize the importance of discarding all type of sin. He used to say, if you leave all sins out, then you are already a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has blessed him with this unique attribute that he could explain intricate, complicated masail of tasawwuf by giving day-to-day simple examples. On one occasion, Hazrat sat in a vehicle. It was a hot summer's day. The driver switched on the aircon, and Hazrat was still feeling uncomfortable in the car. So when he looked around, he found one of the back passengers had left some window half open. So when there is so hot weather, the loo outside, the hot air inside, if it comes into the vehicle, you can put the aircon full blast on, but it will have no effect. So Hazrat said to the passenger, close the window so that we can enjoy the air conditioning. So he closed the window. On that, Hazrat mentioned that this is a similar case of insan, of humans, that when we fill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts with the dhikr of Allah, then we should leave no space free and open for shaitanic whispering to come into the heart. So he gave the example. Like this window was left a little open. If you leave the window of your heart a little open, leave space there for the shaitan to interfere, then you will go astray. Populate and fill your heart with the remembrance and dhikr of Allah. Leave no space. Don't leave the window open for shaitan to enter your heart. Then you will see the way towards success. And this man was blessed, truly a lover of the Quran. It was through his efforts. When he came to this country too, today we look around on the shelves, many of the Qur'ans covered with fabric. So he used to emphasize that show respect for the Qur'an. The covers of the Qur'an tend to get soil damage, so cover it with some fabric to protect the original cover of the Qur'an. And so much love for the Qur'an, he used to say that this fabric covers will also tend to pick up dust. When you find them soiled and dirty, let the musallis volunteer, take the covers home, have them washed, bring them back, recover the Qur'an. And he would say, because this cover of the Qur'an has enjoyed the company of the Qur'an, when you wash the cover, the water that drips off, don't let it fall onto the ground. Put a utensil below, let that water drip into that utensil, gather that water, and then with a lot of care, take that water in some part of your garden where the grass can benefit, the flowers can benefit, empty it out there in one corner, so that the water is not even trampled upon. Because this is water that has come out from the cover of the Kalam of Allah, from the Book of Allah. Such was his love for the Quran and Kareem. And he used to have this fikr and this worry that even the Muaddin's Adhan should be correct. When he came to Azad, well, don't worry, it wasn't Abdul Rahman in those days, it was another Muaddin. So his Adhan was not correct. Hazrat called him up, made him sit in front of him, and taught him how to say the Adhan. This habit of saying the Adhan, pulling where there is no mud in the words of the Adhan, and to pull unnecessarily, that is uncalled for. Hazrat explained to the Muaddin. And alhamdulillah, within a day or two, Hazrat stayed in Azad. Well, I was fortunate, he stayed at my place. And then Hazrat taught the Muaddin how to say the Adhan. When the Adhan was corrected, in order to reward him, we're talking about this was somewhere in the 1980s, then Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Haq sahab, rahmatullahi, gave the Muaddin 5 or 10 rands as an award that you have corrected your Quran. And thereafter, as long as Hazrat stayed here, Hazrat used to monitor his Adhan, and his Adhan was correct each time, Hazrat used to reward him. But unfortunately, people tend to return to square one. When Hazrat left the town, that Muazzin returned to the old form of Adhan again. So nevertheless, Hazrat wanted this to be corrected. The same Jami Masjid, when Hazrat was walking out, he saw papers thrown across the path in front of the Masjid door. He said to the Musallis walking along with him, they pick the papers up. You like your home to be clean in front, this is the house of Allah. Pick up the papers. So he made them pick up those papers. At my residence, when we were coming out, there were some papers lying there. Some of my friends were with. So he said to one of my friends, also an alim, pick up this paper. So he thought he can be clever. He said to Hazrat, ye mera ghar nahi, ye Saeed ka ghar hai. It's Saeed's house, not my house. So Hazrat said, lekin Saeed tumhara dost hai na, to utha usko. He's your friend, so pick up the paper. So he made him pick up the paper. So this was Maulana Abu al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi. So the reason why he came to mind, we were talking about coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can only come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we strive to establish the sunnah, when we strive to establish Islamic principles, when we have love for the Quran, and when we sit in the company of these pious people, we should listen attentively. Generally, our habit is that if something of the dunya, entertainment, we will remain wide awake. But if a dini talk is being given, we tend to slumber and we tend to snooze away. Sometimes we hear people even sawing wood when the alim is delivering the talk and they begin to fall asleep. Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Haq sahab rahmatullah had the habit when he used to give a bayan in the masajid and there is a huge gathering, he used to tell us, the children of the madrasa, to take water in a cup and walk around the audience. Anyone you see falling asleep, sprinkle water on him. And he would wake up immediately, so that he does not fall asleep in a dini talk. This was the way of Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi. And a unique part of him, that he used to keep his promise. If he has to give a talk, he would ask the imam for, say, half an hour, and he used to keep a watch in front of him. At the strike of that half an hour, he would terminate the talk. Because he said, a promise is a promise. You tell the people half an hour talk, people have other needs, they will sit for half an hour, and now you pull for 1 hour. Or some bayans people pull for 3 hours. And the man has got some need to attend to. So then if you tell him from the beginning, the talk will be 3 hours, he will leave. He's got some necessity to attend to. In fact, when the talk used to be incomplete sometime, then Hazrat used to ask the audience, said, listen, I have one more thing to say. Will you give me an extra 2 minutes? If they say yes, then he would speak for another 2 minutes. So particular he was about people's needs and necessities. And this is the teaching of Islam, that we ought to take into account necessities of people. Even the imam has been commanded in the hadith, إِذَا أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمُ الْقَوْمُ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. When you make imamat of people, then perform a light salah. In other staying within the sunnah qiraat, do not recite too lengthy, do not recite too long also. In order the translation will read, جب تم میں سے کوئی کسی قوم کی امامت کرے تو ہلکی نماز پڑھائے, لائٹ نماز. ون غیر مقلد, ہی ریڈ دا سم وے دا اردو ٹرانسلیشن, ہی واز این امام. When he used to make imamat, he used to shake his body. Shake his body. Someone asked him, why do you do this? He opened the kitab, there is written, ki jab qaum ki imamat kare, to hil ke namaz paro. He says, halki namaz, he says, hil ke namaz paro. Shake and perform the salah. So nevertheless, in these discourses, bayan, so we ought to listen attentively. Then we can benefit. Sometimes you miss some pertinent point, you will misunderstand. And you will begin to misquote that alim also, that he said this, whereas he did not say that. Today, unfortunately, in dini talks, even in the madrasas, experience with our students also. Lesson is taking place, you will find the students sitting in front, having a good snooze. In fact, students of deen are true innovators. They even innovate new ways of sleeping also. You will find a student in front of you, staring blankly at you, his eyes are wide open. But it looks like he's looking through the teacher, through the ustaz, something at the back. He's in a different world altogether. He doesn't know what's happening. So they fall asleep in that way also, with the eyes wide open. They are innovators. In Hardoi, after Taraweeh, sometimes we used to have Nafal, Qiyamul Layl, one imam, two, three muqtadis, and that is the way it should be. In the Hanafi mazhab, to have more than three muqtadis in Nafal is makruh. So nevertheless, obviously that Nafal Qiraat is more lengthier than Taraweeh Salah. So one person reading, one of our friends we following. So one day the Muazzin of the Masjid, there in Hardoi Madrasa, decided to join us. So as I said, people invent new ways of sleeping. So he was overcome with sleep. And amazing, while standing behind the Imam, in an upright position, he fell asleep. I was standing next to him, you could hear his heavy breathing, snoring also. Fell asleep while standing. But when it came time to go into ruku, then he lost his balance, he fell down, but in the flesh he was up again in ruku. So that also happens. So very important, sometimes, in fact at all times, to listen attentively. Nasruddin Hujja, rahmatullahi, a famous Hanafi alim of Turkey, a very humorous personality also, once he came out to the classroom. Hanafi alim, he had taught Quduri, which is a book on fiqh, clutching the kitab respectfully with his arm against his chest. When he came out to the madrasa, a mother came up to him with an infant cradle in her arms, and she complained that, Hazrat, this child does not sleep at night. The baby keeps us awake. You give us some taweez, some wazifa to read. So Nasruddin Hujja looked at the lady and said to her, take this book. He gave her a Quduri. Like people read fairy tales to their children at night to put them to sleep, you read this book to the infant. So the mother began to scratch her head also. Such a little child cannot read a single word, cannot understand. How will the child fall asleep? In fact, she said, I myself cannot read this book. How will I read it to the baby? So then Nasruddin Hujja said, look at the student that walked out of the classroom with me. It's a tried and tested formula. Whenever I sit and open the Quduri, they all fall asleep in front of me. So it's a tried and tested formula. So this was Nasruddin Hujja. On one occasion, he lost some close family members. First he lost his mother. So many elderly ladies of the neighborhood came to console him, that don't worry, take us as your mother. We will be in place of your mother. So it consoled him. After some time, his sister, elderly sister, passed away. Old ladies of the area came again to him to console him, that take us as your older sisters. So he was pacified. Then afterwards his wife passed away. When she passed away, he began to weep uncontrollably. They could not console him. So someone began to admire him, that you must have had a great deal of love for your wife, that you are missing her so much, that you are unconsolable. He said, no, the fact of the matter is, when my mother passed away, this happened, sister passed away, this happened, my wife passed away, the young ladies of the locality did not come to say, take us as your wife. So this was the joviality of Nasruddin Hujja. So very important to listen attentively. Sometimes, When a person does not listen attentively, he can even lose a lucrative job. In India it occurred, young men were lined up for a very high paying job and they were waiting to be interviewed. The interviewing officer was a Hindu. There were some Muslims all standing in the line trying to secure a job. So he was calling in the candidates one by one to interview them. The person at the head of the queue was a Muslim. He went in and the Hindu officer interviewed him. So he asked him some questions of general knowledge, especially pertaining to Indian history. He asked him, "Tell me, when did India gain independence from the British regime?" So he answered correctly. He said, "Efforts started long ago, but they reached fruition in the year 1947, when India gained independence." So the officer was impressed that this man knows Islamic history. Then he put a second question to him, that who are the people that were instrumental in this? Whose efforts were behind this in securing independence for India? Being a Muslim, he knew the primary efforts were of our elders, our ulama of Deoband, people like Hafiz Amin Sahib Rahmatullahi, became shaheed in the Battle of Shamli, people like Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Madani Rahmatullahi, Maulana Abul Kalam Azad Rahmatullahi. Many prominent ulama played a major role in securing independence from the British oppressive regime. So he thought himself, the interviewer is a Hindu. I could rattle off names of this ulama, but he would feel that I am being biased. He will say that Hindus also played a role, people like Nehru and others. So he gave a very intelligent reply. He said, "I cannot pinpoint any single individual. Many people's efforts were involved." So he was very happy with that reply. The third final question he asked him, they tell me, what is the way forward for India? So he said, the debate is still carrying on, discussion is raging on, that how will India progress? So he was very happy, he sent him out and told him, send the second candidate in for the interview. But he warned him, that listen, when you go out, don't tell him the questions I asked you. You are at liberty to tell him all the answers, but don't tell him the questions. So he went, he told a second person, also a Muslim young man, all the answers only. That the answers were these, 1947, and that many people's efforts were involved, etc., etc. So he began to rattle off in his mind these answers. He was so obsessed and not wanting to forget the answers. When he went in, he did not listen attentively to the questions. So obviously he flunked the interview. The interviewer totally changed the questions. But because he was not paying attention, he obviously gave the wrong answers. The first question that interviewer posed to this young man, he asked him, "When were you born?" So he says, "Efforts started long ago, but they reached fruition in the year 1947. So he's also crapping cop that this man looks so young, he could not be born in 1947. But today there are many anti-aging creams. Perhaps he looks young, even though he's old. Nevertheless, let's carry on with the next question. So he asked him, "Tell me how many people's efforts were involved in this?" So he says, "I cannot pinpoint any single individual," or rather, he did not ask this question. He asked him, "Who is your father?" Second question. "Who is your father?" So he said, "I cannot pinpoint any single individual. Many people's efforts were involved in it." So by this time the interviewer was obviously annoyed. So the third question he asked him, "Tell me, are you mad or am I mad?" So he said, "The debate is still raging on. Discussion is carrying on. I cannot answer." So nevertheless, important in dini talks to listen attentively. Then we can digest the information. Then we can put into practice. That is the step towards success. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah used to say, "Awwal al-ilm al-istima'." ثم الإنصات ثم الحفظ ثم العمل ثم الإشاعة. That this is the way to successful deen knowledge. That first and foremost, first rung of the ladder, listen attentively to what is being said. And the second rung of the ladder, go in one corner with a solitude, stay silent for a little while, digest in your mind, in your heart, whatever you heard from that alim or from that buzruq. And thirdly, try and memorize what was said. Store it in your brain. And fourthly, he said, put that into practice. There's a fourth rung of the ladder. By putting into practice, you will be able to preserve that knowledge. And finally, he said, ishaat. There's a final rung of the ladder. Propagation, tabligh. Whatever we learn, we practice upon, we convey to others as well. That will be the way to success. Allah give us a tawfiq of inshallah spending our lives in this world fruitfully, making an effort on our iman, on our deen, and Allah Ta'ala grant us inshallah progress day to day towards the akhirat, so that when we meet our Creator on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala make it possible for us to drink from the Hawza Kawthar on the hands of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be granted the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make us among those fortunate people who will enter Jannatul Firdaus inshallah without reckoning. Today's masala, we know the month of Ramadan is drawing to a close, then we will go into the month of Shawwal. As I mentioned that day also, let us not be that type of Muslim that only suffices with the farais and obligations. Let us do some extra ibadat also. The month of Shawwal is coming. The hadith tells us to this effect that the person who keeps fast throughout the month of Ramadan and then adds on 6 rozas in the month of Shawwal, kana kasiyam iddahr, it will be as if he has fasted for the entire year. Why? Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. When a person does a good deed, minimum reward is 10 rewards. So 30 rozas times 10, 300 rozas reward already. A further 6 rozas times 10, 60, 360 days in the year, Islamic calendar. So therefore we'll get the reward of fasting for the entire year. So we should make an effort also, look forward to Shawwal. Let us not only suffice with our zakat, also give nafal, sadaqah, khairat as well. Let us not suffice only with the fard namazes. Let us do optional nafal namazes as well. Even outside of the month of Ramadan, our tahajjud, our ishaq, our wabin, etc. Let us continue to make tilawah to the Quran Kareem. Let us fast in nafal rozas at the opportunities that arise, so that we can draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Today also, tonight is an odd night. It could be Laylatul Qadr. Let us not waste the opportunity. Spend as much time as possible in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows if it is our good fortune, tonight's ibadat and tonight's dua could perhaps secure our forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ